Okay, so to review the agenda, we'll do the scribe selection. If you're feeling motivated to scribe, it would be appreciated. Always saves time. Introductions, reintroductions. So if anyone is new here today and wants to introduce yourself, please speak up. Announcements and reminders. We're going to follow up on last week's discussion about action items. We'll do some review there to sort of further the fleshing out the pipeline of work items in ambiguous states. We will formally kick off some work items and discuss proposed work items that we didn't get to last week. And then lastly, we will do a DID spec pull request triage, and Joe will lead that part. So the first, just for context, the first meetings of the year have been focused on just some cleanup of work items to get people out of block states and get things moving forward. But DID spec will be the priority for the foreseeable future. Okay, let's see, IP note. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, if you have not agreed to the group's IP policy, we cannot consider substantive contributions. Some notes on how the calls work. There are these minutes in an audio recording are archived at this archive location. We use IRC to cue speakers during the call as well as to take minutes. Again, it's a little recursion problem to type that into IRC, so I won't do that. See the CCG site if you have questions about how to access that. All attendees should type present plus, no space in between, just present plus, to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript. In IRC, type Q plus to add yourself to the queue, and you can add an optional reminder. So Q, it would be Q plus space, did spec needs better SCO. So an example would be like that. And if you're not on IRC, just ask to be put in the queue. And lastly, please be brief so the rest of the queue can get a chance to chime in. And you can always type Q plus again. Okay, so we need a volunteer to scribe. And thanks again to Lucas for doing a great job last week. Therefore, I will not call on him this week. So here's our scribe list. Okay, sorry, 1 second, let me try to jump through the people who are here. Oh, yeah. Benjamin Young, would you be able to scribe today? Bowden, Andrea, are you able to scribe?
Sorry, I will not manage.
Okay.
My typing skills are not good enough.
Okay. Brent Sundell, would you be able to scribe?
I'm sorry, I don't have my computer out. I'm only on my phone today.
Okay, yeah, I guess it'd be very hard to do on your phone.
It would be
Chris
tricky.
Weber? Chris Weber? I don't see him. Dan Pape? Daniel Buckner? No David today. David Lane? Dimitri,
Not today, though I'm happy to scribe another week.
Okay, thanks. Drummond? Jarlis O'Carroll? Jeff Orgel?
Yeah, he's not on.
Okay. Joe Kaplan? Jonathan Holtz? Oh, wow. Thank you. We have a volunteer. Is that you, Anthony?
It's Amy Guy. Thank you, Amy.
Amy Guy. Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks again, Amy. That's very helpful. Okay, let's do introductions and reintroductions. If you're new to the call, could you introduce yourself? Okay, let's move into reintroductions. I have Chris Weber as next up on the reintroduction list. Chris, are you here?
No, he's in D.C. all this week.
Okay. Dan Burnett?
Yeah. I think Dimitri's next of those who are here.
Thank you. Dimitri, can you reintroduce yourself?
Sure. So my name is Dimitri Zagadulin, software developer working with Digital Bazaar. And so I work on decentralized software, sometimes blockchain related, sometimes personal data store related, formerly of the MIT Solid team. And yeah, that's me.
Thank you, Dimitri. Okay, let's move on to announcements and reminders, and the call will get more lively now. So, rebooting Web of Trust 8, March 1 through 3rd in Barcelona, Spain. Here is the Eventbrite for that. IAW will be April 30th through May 2nd in Mountain View, California, and I'll send in the link for that. Joe.
I just wanted to mention the Verifiable Claims Working Group meeting face-to-face, which is going to be in Barcelona right after Rebooting Web of Trust 8. So if you'd like to participate in that, plan your travel accordingly. It's designed to save some airfare costs. Note to chairs, we should add that to our regular bit.
Exactly. That just occurred to me. And Manu.
So just a heads up to those of you that are going to rebooting, we will have hotel choices shortly, especially for those that are going to go to rebooting and then go to the Verifiable Claims Working Group meeting. They're co-located for these two meetings. You may need to change hotels. So we'll get a list of top three hotels for rebooting and top three hotels for the Verifiable Claims Working Group meeting. I'm trying to think of where we're going to post that. I know that the Verifiable Claims will post it there. I guess we'll send an email out to the mailing list. Does that sound good with hotel choices so people know? So those are forthcoming.
Yeah, that sounds good. And Dimitri asked for dates for the face-to-face as well. And it's the 3rd and – what dates are it exactly?
The 4th and the 5th of March.
4th and the 5th. Okay, March 4th and 5th. Okay, yeah, that sounds great on the hotel choices. Thanks, Ben. And to follow up on that, yes, I will update the announcement so that we don't keep forgetting. Okay, quick cue check before we go. Brent?
Do we have the address for the face-to-face venue?
Yes, we do. Let me try and find it. Going to take me a bit. I'll try to post it in IRC, Brent.
Thanks.
Okay, so next up, progress on action items. Again, the last week and this week, we're still working through a little bit of backlog that we have built up. So again, for context, the beginning of the year priority has been basically some bookkeeping cleanup. But right after that, in fact, next week, we'll be turning our focus to decentralized identifier draft specification. So, and we'll start teeing that up this week. In terms of reviewing the PRs that are outstanding. Let's see. Okay, so some things I wanted to show in terms of continuing cleanup, and I think after this week we'll be able to do most of the iteration in the background. So, but I do want to show some sort of key changes that have happened. Okay, so first of all, in the community, or in the W3C CCG GitHub organization, let me link to that first. So this is our GitHub org. And again, for items, for work items that we've accepted, we create repos. So some issues around the creation of them and, sort of standardization, I realized a lot of things were in different states. So one thing that I've been doing is going around attempting to clean them up and also document slash add to scripts, things that need to be addressed. So let's look, for example, at the OCAP LD. So this is the OCAP LD work item repo. If you look in that structure there, I wanted to draw attention to some standard files that we should be creating for you when you have a work item. So this is a comment, but also request for feedback in case anyone has any comments. So one, there's this code owners file. So this one is used for identifying who are the owners of the work item, and this is used. This file is basically used so that if someone creates a pull request against the repo, then these people will be automatically assigned. So you don't need to do this. This file will be created for you when you promote your work item or when you sort of request your work item, you'll identify owners then, and so shares will take care of this part, and we'll have scripts and all of that. So that identifies the code owners. The main things you may have feedback there is if there become additional owners you'd like to add, or if you want to take advantage of some of the more advanced code owners features, then you might change that. If you don't know what's going on there, just reach out to me, and we'll figure it out. Okay, so a file that a lot were missing is this contributing file. So that one talks about the contribution policy. I think that it's important that we make sure that this one is added by default. I don't know how much this matters in terms of, sort of IP policies. It definitely helps put it in people's faces more readily when they submit a pull request, for example. So I think this one is probably just again, you don't have to add it. The chairs will automatically have that there for you. But I think that this is sort of helping to put the IP policy in people's awareness when they try to contribute. Okay, so license, that was missing on some. It's the W3C software and document license. README is just a default file that we'll create. An index.html, this one is the spec text. But so basically, those three files I wanted to draw attention to, code owners, contributing, license. You don't have to worry about them. They'll be there for you, but I want to describe what they are, the context. Any questions on that? Okay, I think we're good on that. And specifically, Marcus, one thing that when we had been talking about, you know, the did resolution contributions, I think that at this point, the creator or the owner of the work item doesn't need to care about the IP policy. I think that a combination of these files and, you know, the general licensing that we placed everywhere, I think that covers basically make sure that people are aware of the IP release policy, all of that. So I think that work item owners don't need to make additional efforts in the context of that repo. Probably like phone calls, it's good to always mention the IP policy. But in terms of GitHub, I think that makes everyone happy. Speak up if you disagree with that. Okay, GitHub topics. One other thing is that on each repo, you might notice, so like at the OCAPLD one at the top, you'll see a couple of what's called topics. So there's a work item one, a W3C, CCG. These are things that basically chairs are just using to categorize, say, work items versus registries. That's going to be the new style over this, you know, work item colon description. But yeah, I'm not in a huge rush to actually normalize the existing ones to get rid of that. If you have strong feedback and you know, you really want that work item in the description in that way, we can update that process as well. Okay, so lastly, one thing I wanted to show is, let's see, okay. In the last week, we talked about the process of creating a new work item. And also there was feedback that, you know, that's a lot to take in when you just want to open up a new work item. So one thing I want to draw attention to is, actually, you know, I'll show it. I have some screen grabs in the new W3C process. Okay, so back to this document. If you scroll down to work item process, that is page 4. So those two screen captures at the top are meant to sort of say, okay, those are the more usable replacements for everything listed in step 1. So you would go to that new issue, select that, then say get started on that CCG new work item template. So the template has the key information to sort of prompt you through what one is asking for. And also, you know, if for whatever reason the contributors just aren't comfortable with using GitHub, reach out to us. The chairs can help with that as well. But yes, so that this new work item GitHub issue template should help just make that process more seamless, and we'll try to make that link more readily apparent. Okay, so that's it for kind of getting everyone up to speed with those items that have been going on. And there's going to be a lot of stuff going on in the background. So as we did the cleanup, I noticed that, you know, well, not just one with inconsistent file states, but also ones where it wasn't quite clear where they are in the pipeline. However, we won't be taking, we won't on an ongoing basis be taking time in the calls to cover that unless there's some interesting outcome from that. So basically expect the chairs to reach out to you if there's anything that's unclear. We'll be trying to push these things forward so that everything is sort of on track. One other thing I want to remind people of, if you look in the work item status, and let me give a link to that. Okay, so on that page, note that this is what we reviewed last week. And so if you look under current work items in that status column, those are going to be changing a lot over the next few weeks. And so, you know, that's all. This is always a good page to look at to if you're wanting the status of things. If you are wanting to get more involved in the W3C CCG working group, we'll also be calling out opportunities. Anything that says needs spec text in the status is a really good candidate for getting involved with, you know, what goes into making a draft report or, you know, basically something that's pre-spec status through W3C. We have training guide on that. One thing I want to put out there, if anyone's interested, Joe proposed an idea of a, I think he called it a spec-a-thon. So, you know, if people wanted to sort of gather, actually it was spec-a-palooza maybe, but so, you know, to sort of get everyone and you know, if they have questions about spec text generation, to go onto it over a call, but in general make it a working session so that, you know, one, people can learn how to do it, and two, it would help unblock a lot of any item that says need spec text on it. So some of these specifically, like you did primer, I feel like that has spec text, so I need to update that one. But there's something else, like the registry process, maybe, well, at least the registry process, you know, they're ready to move on to be closed after being converted to spec text. So that would be a really good way to advance items. Reach out, I guess, on the mailing list or something if you have, you know, if you're interested in the spec Asan. And Joe, you're up next.
Yeah, I just wanted to anchor what I was aiming for there. Having tried to sit through the first version of the video, which was not yet edited, so it was a little bit rough, I was just hoping to have, like, well, let's get, you know, sit for an hour and know by the end of that investment, I would have the spec text repo and everything created, as opposed to watching a video where at the end I may not understand still. So I'm curious, and let me ask for a plus one, if there's anyone out there who would want to schedule an hour after which your spec text would be created. If anyone's blocked, I know, I think Lionel has one on the queue. I have two on the queue that need to be created. So if there's interest, we will schedule that. But it's not clear how many folks are in that position.
And, yeah, in fact, I might send out a poll. Like, that would be extremely helpful to the whole community to advance these items. So yeah, anything we can do to support that, you know, I'll send out a poll to see if we had some times when people would show up. So, stay posted for that. Okay, so specific items to follow up on, let's see. So work items 43 and 44, I just wanted to call on those because a combination, well, Ryan Grant and Lionel Wahlberger are owners of those. I think Ryan is primary in 43, and then vice versa on 44, but some of the efforts overlap. So, you know, they'll sort of be working together on those. Ryan and Lionel, if you have anything to report on that, just add yourself to the queue. Otherwise, I just wanted to give an update on that part. Again, this has to do with DID security and threat modeling.
I don't think either of them are on the call.
Okay. Great. So let's move forward. Okay, new work items. First, I want to formally kick off a few work items that were described in the call last week. Let's see. First of all, okay, we had three, and let's see if the formatting works out. Okay, good enough. So we had multi-hash, multi-base, and hash link. Again, Manu described this on the call a couple of times, but specifically as part of a new work item kickoff last week. We posted it on the mailing list. As far as I can tell, there's no substantive objections to these, so I think we can consider these kicked off. And so that means I'll go through the process of converting these to actual work items, and work can begin whenever. Any comments on that? Add yourself to the queue. Otherwise, we will go through to propose the new set of work items. Okay. So let's
those
start
are now
with
work items.
They are. Yeah.
Great.
Okay, let's start with DID resolution, and I'm going to ask Marcus to describe that. Oh, Christopher, was that a Q plus? I see a question plus.
Oh, sorry, Q plus. I'm
okay,
on a phone.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to make the statement that there is one little small step in there that we missed speaking about, which is that those three work items, the chairs believe there is sufficient community support for to continue. So there is a check. I mean, you know, there is a checkpoint where, you know, a week goes by and both cases and there are no objections, but the chairs may basically say, we're not sure that there's community support, may wait, you know, decide to wait a little bit longer until, you know, that come get the chair decision. But I think it doesn't apply to any of these. I think there is multiple people involved, multiple companies involved, so the chairs believe that, you know, this has should continue. That's it.
Yeah, for adding that. Okay, so let's move on to a new batch of work items that we're proposing to kick off this week. Two of them we have issues. One we don't, but we'd like to go ahead and hear the introduction, and we can work to get the kickoff started. So first is DID resolution. That's tracked in this issue here, and I'm going to ask Marcus Sabadello to present this.
Okay, thank you, Kim. Yes, so Dimitri Zagbulin and myself, we've been working on a document for specifying DID resolution for a while. So there is an existing repository. We think it makes sense to have a separate spec for that. We see there is quite a lot of community interest. By now, the existing document has a bit of initial structure, so it has a number of topics and sections that we can fill with more content as we move along. It covers topics such as resolver architectures. What does it mean to have a resolver as a hosted service as opposed to a resolver in a mobile app or in a browser? It covers what are input parameters to DID resolution besides the DID itself, what is potential output data of the resolution process besides just the DID document. It talks about things like service selection, service endpoint construction, topics around caching, versioning, revocation, and other things that affect the resolution process. So yeah, I think there are quite a few people have expressed interest for this being a work item. And Dimitri and I, we thought we would send out some information or thoughts on how to contribute, perhaps bi-weekly calls or something like that. We'll make some proposal. There are some issues already on that repository with quite some good discussion points by various people. And yeah, I think one question will be what would be the delineation between deed resolution and the main deed spec. For example, there are some open issues on the main deed spec that are specific to, or that are, would be more appropriate for deed resolution document. But we can figure that out as we get started officially.
Oh, sorry. Thank you, Marcus. And please add yourself to the queue if you have any questions or comments. I wanted to highlight one aspect of what he was talking about. I think specifically for this topic, I think there will be quite a bit of interest, and I think it will definitely need some breakout sessions. So these will probably do in a similar manner as we did to the deed hardening process, you know, but the timing and cadence of those is sort of, you know, can be figured out over time. But what we would do for sure is, you know, follow the similar process where we're still scribing and recording everything. So we have the IP protections and things like that. So yes, if you're interested in participating in the DID resolution spec, and those breakout calls, please let us know, probably through the mailing list or reaching out directly. Let's see. So Manny's on the queue.
Yeah, so just a plus one for support of the work. I think a number of the companies involved depend on there being some kind of resolution spec. The other question I had was around implementation. So we have a couple of implementations kind of floating around there. So I know that the DID.io implementation that DigitalBazaar has done can do, you know, Veris One resolution right now, and we want to add things like sovereign resolution and you know, IP ID resolution and any other DID method that seems like it's getting traction we want to put in there. And then that, of course, raises the question around like test suites and what's the interface into the DID resolution spec, and is it a data model only spec or an API spec as well? I note that there is an HTTP binding in there, and I think that's a good idea. So I guess, Marcus, do you have, well, of course, and Marcus is resolver, right? I mean, so we already have like multiple implementations. I'm wondering how soon the test suite stuff might start as a result of that.
Manu, was that question specifically for Marcus?
It was in Marcus's general direction. So
okay,
Marcus.
That's what I thought. So Marcus, if you have
I'm not sure. I actually understood the question was about test suites when we would have test suites.
Yeah. So I mean, one of the things that you end up creating to go with the spec is a test suite, and the question was more around like what does the test suite look like. Or do you feel like, no, there's plenty of spec work here? Let me try to be a bit more clear. If what you're working on is a data model spec, the test suite is going to look very different than an HTTPI binding plus a data model spec. And so I guess the core question is, like, is this a data model spec? Like, is this just talking about the response format for DID resolvers? Or are you trying to do something a bit with a broader scope, meaning a data model for request response from DID resolvers in addition to an HTTP binding? I think it's the latter thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say definitely both. So there are some things on the data model side. I mean, the primary DID document data model, that's that would still be in the main DID spec, right? So the DID document would not be defined in DID resolution, but I think there would be some additional data model concepts or additions that are specific to DID resolution, specifically when we talk about, for example, versioning and caching and things like that. So we would define a certain addition to the data model, but we would also define APIs. And the way I've been thinking about it is that there would be an abstract definition for a DID resolution function, so something like an abstract API with input and output, and then there could be bindings, such as the HTTP binding. And we could have test suites for all of those things, I imagine, for the data model, for the abstract API interface, which could be implemented as an HTTP binding, but it could also be implemented in other ways. So yes, if we wanted to test suites, how would we do that? Would we do that as a separate work item or as part of this work item? Would it be part of the spec, or would it be in another different place?
Manny,
So typically the test suite is in a different repo, but it's bound to the work, right? So at some point, you know, if this is going to go standards track, which my expectation is like we'd want that to happen, you're going to need a test suite to go to kind of follow along with the spec. And like starting that test suite before you even have a working group is a pretty strong indication of like you should. It's fairly well thought out, especially if you can show like two independent implementations. So I would say it's a part of this work item, but just a different repository.
Okay. Yeah. Then let's do it. I know there are at least four or five different projects working on implementing DID resolution. There's also a list of some known resources in the current DID resolution draft. There is a list with pointers to implementation. So, and I think they're far enough. So we could definitely work on test suites. Yes, that's a great idea.
Great. Okay, I can start up the repo for that. And I think, in sort of the kickoff calls, I think there'll be a lot of discussion about breaking up that work. I think that's it for DID resolution. I don't see anyone else on the queue. So expect a follow-up email to sort of reiterate the kickoff, but to the mailing list. Let's see what's next. Functional identity, and I'd like to ask Joe to present that.
Okay, great. So this is the goal of this is to pull in the work on the functional identity primer that was done for Rebooting Web of Trust. I dropped a link to that paper. Get feedback from the CCG, iterate on it as necessary, and hopefully get it published as a note of the work group. The functional identity approach is basically has three components. The first is an ask to ask folks to talk about identity from a functional perspective. Since we're engineers here, we're trying to design or create new systems, talking about how identity works and how we use it, rather than the psychological or political or cultural elements of it. Those things are important, but first let's talk about how it works, because that's what we're here for. And then the second thing is a definition of identity, because the current definition, the current dominant definition from ISO is not functional. And that definition is that identity is how we recognize, remember, and respond to specific people and things. It has some interesting complications with regard to how ISO likes to deal with identity, but that's the second part. And then the third part is 10 terms that we've defined, 5 nouns and 5 verbs, or 5 assets and 5 processes. And the idea is to get this into our conversation at the Credentials Community Group, get feedback and incorporate that, and hopefully publish it for some guidance that could have a little bit wider reach.
Great. Thank you, Joe. Any comments or questions, please add yourself to the queue. Okay. Let's move on to the last one. So let me make sure Heather's on the call. Yes, great. So Heather had proposed a survey, a CCG survey, and I wanted to give her the floor to talk about sort of what that work item would entail. I know she already has multiple people, you know, interested in joining. So Heather, I can work with you to you know, sort of create the GitHub issues and whatever else we may be missing. But yeah, Heather, you have the floor. Let us know what you're thinking about that.
Great. Thanks, Tim. Well, really, I think this was just like a little bit of cleanup from the survey that I'm currently conducting with Karen on, you know, end of year feedback on CCG. So I think probably a lot of you have already taken the survey, and this is just following the process. So it's accepted as an actual work item. Is that your are you thinking this is something else, Kim?
No, this is great, actually. I didn't realize you had this. I'm just bad at reading email, frankly. So, no, this is great. So, yeah, this is basically saying the oh, right. Okay, I thought you had a proposed new one. Is this the one that is out already?
I think so. Okay, so in the discussion about having participation in the feedback survey, I had this idea that we could do one for a broader audience, and I don't know if I want to sign up for that.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Okay,
I mean, like, I think maybe it was getting ahead of the ball a little bit. I think that maybe we should focus on this survey, like the one that's in progress right now until the end of this month, mm-hmm. which, I mean, it's not like, it's not a small or inconsequential amount of work. It's an actual piece of research. With a survey, and there's going to be analysis and, you know, a report, not like a, you know, like it's not going to be nothing, but it's not going to be like a crazy professional deliverable. So we're going to have plenty of feedback from that, and I'm not sure if it's useful to get a broader look at things right now. Although, I think we can put that on. I'm happy to put it on the list, and I'd be happy to do it. It's just, you know, will we be able to take action? And I'm not even sure if this community can take, this community takes technical action. It doesn't take action on the non-technical adoption or education in this space. I could be wrong, but my understanding is this group focuses on the technical implementation.
Yeah, so several notes. I think, there's a queue. I'll start working through that. But yes, I think possibly, right, the end of year survey, that I think I missed that part. So that should have been work item two. So you already have the information supplied for that. It's already in process. So I'll update our bookkeeping stuff on that to indicate there's this work item, this end of year survey that's already underway. That follow-up one, we'll just put that on the back burner that we can revisit based on, you know, I get that. Like, this is a lot of work to go through the results and everything, so let's you know, focus on this first. So we will say, like, this one already is a work item. So that's great.
Sorry to jump in. That was my understanding, though. It was like a little bit of housekeeping because this survey just came ad hoc out of, we ran out of time to give feedback. And I just like to do things the right way, right? And the way people,
right.
Not everyone was on that call or not everyone's going to like voice their comments. And the survey is just the right way to get feedback on this type of thing.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was like some housekeeping for that. And then it kind of just expands. Scope creep, because we're great at scope creep.
Yes, we're, and to your point about sort of that we focus on technical items that maybe are not as strong as some of the other aspects like education about what we're doing, I think we would like to be better at those, but I point definitely taken that we show up more in the technical space more than others. And so, you know, certainly if anyone else in the call would like to get more involved in that, I know there's a lot of interest. It would benefit the community greatly. So it sounds like we're good on this. It's really just up to the chairs now to get the bookkeeping correct. And please fill out that survey if you haven't already. I'll dig up the link and paste that in. I have two people on the queue. So Bowden, you're first.
I have a question about HashLink. Standard specifications proposal. First of all, I think it's a great specification, and it's even strange that such thing didn't exist earlier. But my question about this is how to implement this specification in practice. In particular, when we create hash of the resource, how to know what needs to be hashed, right? So there is no explanation where this the content that the resource returns, where this content starts and when it's finished. So this is the first question. The second question about HashLink is maybe we can add into the specification how to refer to locally stored content. So there are explanations that in metadata we can add links to URLs, but there is no example how to reference locally stored data.
Thanks, Bowden. And to kill two birds with one stone, Manu's up on the queue next. But Manu, do you want to answer that first? I noticed a link that you put in.
Sure. Thank you, Bowden. That makes me very happy because the HashLink spec was partially written for you because of the use cases that you brought up in the verifiable claims group. So that's great that you feel like it could address some of the issues that you raised. The answer to what do you hash is basically the content that's returned to you. So when you basically do an HTTP GET, the data stream that you get back, not the HTTP headers, it's like protocol agnostic, but the actual data blob that you get back, that is the thing that's hashed. And there are other things that you can put in the hash link description, like the content type you want to negotiate for, and all that kind of stuff. So it's meant to be like a super simple, you've got a URL, you get that URL, and the content that you get back, the raw byte stream, is what you hash to make sure that it matches what you get back. So it's meant to be super simple. Did that answer your question, Bowden?
Not completely, but I think it's going to be a long conversation. I will write an email with this question.
Okay, and happy to add stuff to the spec. Like if there's something that's not clear in the spec, we should add spec text to clarify it, and so we could probably follow that up on the mailing list.
Manu, and you had another item.
Yes, so this was in response to Heather So plus one to kind of focusing on the narrower end of year thing and getting feedback on that and not expanding scope yet. I think, you know, doing a second survey midway through the rest of the year, I mean, that's like we can do that later or decide to do that later. I agree with all the rationale and why it would be a good idea to do that later on. But for right now, just focus on the end of year feedback. The other question had to do, so I heard two things, like Joe said it, and then, you know, Heather said it, and then I heard Kim say it, where, like, what we focus on in this group is the technical stuff, and I think that's somewhat true, but we do want to, as Kim said, I think we do want to change that. We do want to focus on education and how we, and outreach and how we get the message out, right? Otherwise, we're just kind of navel-gazing. Not doing the right type of outreach. Some of that happens at rebooting, some of it happens at W3C TPAC, but I do think that, you know, we shouldn't, I think we are primarily focused on the technical topics and the how you do X, but we shouldn't lose sight that there are other community members that would probably be more interested in doing the non-technical stuff and helping us to communicate this stuff externally. So anyway, it was a general philosophical point. Didn't want to have a big long discussion about it, but wanted to try to provide some input there. That's it.
Great. Thank you, Manu. And in this section, I'm going to freeze the queue at Heather, and then we'll move on to the DID PR stuff. So Heather, you're up.
Thanks. I might be jumping a little ahead of the game here because I get to look at the survey. Well, but that comment about technology and stuff and going to scope beyond technology, I mean, I definitely feel like it's aspirational only from my direct experience with the group as someone who is a not technical person. You guys are really good at all the technical stuff. So I think that if there's real desire to change that, there has to be real change in the group. I leave it at that.
Okay, thank you, Heather. And so let's move on to the next topic, which is the DID spec PR triage. Okay, so I'll put in the link to the PR to the pull request. And Joe, do you want to kick this off?
Yes. So I think we're going to have time to get to the whole exercise. But what we noticed when the chairs talked this last Friday about all the work items on our plate and the year ahead, what's fairly clear is that getting the DID charter and the DID work kicked off is our highest priority. And we looked at the issues and the pull requests, and there's just a ton of stuff that's been kind of wallowing. I think we have over 60 open issues, and we have 9 open pull requests. So what I wanted to do first was go through those pull requests in oldest, so reverse chronological order, and try and get a sense of whether or not we can close these or merge these, or if there's still more discussion needed. So ultimately, that's what I'm trying to resolve to right now, is just close, merge, or there's still open conversation. And most of that conversation, we want to direct to the PR comments itself on GitHub. So we aren't necessarily going to dive into that discussion, but just identify if we think these are ready to go or if they need more work. Okay, so the first one is number 55, allow DID methods without update and delete. And it does have some conflict, so we can't merge it right off the base. Manu, it looks like you requested some changes, and I think also you're the only listed reviewer.
Yeah, let me.
Joe, also Manu's on the queue because it looks like he did some charge already, so I thought that might be relevant here.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yep, so sorry, this was totally not communicated to the chairs, and I apologize. It happened kind of ad hoc. But so Amy, who's scribing today, is going to be triaging as much as she can, given her availability. And we did sit down a couple of days ago and triage all the pull requests. There hasn't been any movement on it yet, but so Amy, if you want to provide some background, that's totally fine. Like, please do that. But if you'd rather that I kind of go through it, I'm fine with doing that as well. What would you prefer? Okay, Amy's saying go ahead in IRC. Okay, so we went through all of these. So I have pretty quick responses. There's a general overarching thing. Many of these have merge conflicts. The conversations died down. What we can say, I think there's another item there that we could add, Joe, which is needs a new PR. So it's good in concept, but we need a new PR to make it happen. So with that, I can go through all of them if you'd prefer, Joe.
Yes, I'd like to get some sense of that, although we probably don't have time, to be fair, Manu. But maybe we should just tag them with the result of that triage.
Sure, and we can do that offline.
Yes.
Okay, all right, so we can do that since we're almost out of time today.
And we do have a queue. Joe, do you want to, shall we go ahead and work through that?
Yeah, let's go to the, I just want to say thanks to Manu and Amy for that work. So, because this is definitely what's on our table. So it's appreciated.
Marcus, you're up.
Just wanted to say, I think at least two of those open pull requests are related to data resolution. So maybe when we triage them, also consider that to move that content to the other spec.
Yep.
Yeah, so, that's a great idea.
So let's say when we triage it and mark them, we'll put in why we've suggested the path that we have.
Okay. Christopher, you're up.
Yeah, my comment was that the which of these pull requests have some, larger questions than the pull requests like this first one that Joe pointed out with the, can it not have, update and delete? I think, has some larger questions that the community hasn't consensus on. So have you kind of clarified which ones are kind of where there's these larger questions?
Yeah, we can move stuff out to raise new issues for the larger questions.
And so we are at time, but let's close with Michael Herman. And next week we'll be talking about DIDs and will be for the foreseeable future. Michael?
Yeah, so I'm the author of most of the outstanding issues on the spec. I'm just wondering if people have an idea for the process for going through those. I've suggested in a side email that maybe there's some larger sort of overarching issues we need to deal with first before we get down into the nitty-gritty of each one.
Yeah, I can comment on that if I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, Michael, first of all, thank you for those issues. We've had some back and forth, and I've appreciated your engagement on that. One of the things that became apparent in a lot of those is if we had resolved some of these PRs, the issues wouldn't be there. So the thought was, let's try and understand what these PRs are and whether or not they speak to larger issues, and then return back to the issue list and see if we can triage from there.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, and we are a little past time, so thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Thanks all. Bye.
Cheers, guys.